Startup Stimmen, der Podcast für Gründungsinteressierte vom Reach Euregio Startup Center.
Welcome to this special episode of this podcast. We're currently at Enschede Slush, where we're recording this podcast. So if you hear some background noises, that's because we're at this wonderful startup event. I'm your host, Vera Boertien, and I'm joined by two founders today, Bas and Hans. Bas, could you first introduce yourself, maybe?
Yeah, of course. My name is Bas Biersma. I'm one of the co-founders of Code Sandbox. Code Sandbox is an online coding platform where you can build anything that works on your local machine, but then have it in the cloud with all the benefits of running in the cloud. So being always available, being easily shareable, and our goal is to help software teams develop faster.
Sounds good. And Hans, how about you?
Yeah, Hans Scheffer. I'm one of the founders of HelloPrint. We're a marketplace for customizable print products, a European marketplace. Next to that, I'm an investor and co-founder for some startups. And I try to be as active as I can in the ecosystem. So that's also the reason that I'm here at Slush here in Enschede.
Great choice. So you both mentioned that you are also co-founders. So that's what I want to talk about today, about the value of a co-founder. So Bas, how's that for you?
Yeah, so for me, that always had a big impact. So my co-founder and I, we've known each other since we were 12 years old. So that's a long time. And we've always been doing projects together. And Code Sandbox was one of those projects that got started. And yeah, being or having a startup really is quite a journey from, well, being happy with the first person that visits your website, then having 10 people at the same time, and then, up to way bigger.
Yeah, because so, how long have you been running Code Sandbox now?
So we started here at the university in 2017 as an open source project, so mm-hmm. really as a project. And since 2019, it's been a company.
Right. Yeah. So you're still quite young, actually, as a company.
Well, both. Right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess it's been 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
Right. And what challenges did you face along the way, and how did having a co-founder help in that?
Well, yeah, I mean, when we raised our first investment round, our Series Seed, you get a lot of new information thrown at you. Of course, having a first term sheet, knowing like what's important as well to look for, what you want to do with the business.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we always like are very honest about with each other and talked about. And I think it's always also a good thing to keep each other centered, as sometimes amazing stuff happens, like you get an investment, you get a lot of cash on the bank.
Yeah.
And then it's important to know, like, we're still two people building a project,
yeah,
building a product. What do we really need? And how to be responsible for that.
And does your co-founder also have additional skills that you do not have that really complement each other?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's been key to how we work together. Yves, my co-founder, he's more of the visionary, I would say, and I'm more of the operator. So
yeah,
that's why we work great together. Yves sets the direction and I'm trying to get us there.
Yeah.
And yeah, that works because we have different strengths, and that's also why we work well together. And because we've known each other for so long, there's 100% trust, because that's the other part. You really need to trust your co-founders. Otherwise, you're spending way too much time making decisions together, and that's slowing you down, and where speed is so important for it.
Yeah, I can imagine that trust is really the foundation of working together.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's that for you, Hans?
Yeah, I think a lot of the things that the boss says resonates to me. I think there is a difference in, so you can have like a sort of, and this might sound strange, there is a different level in kind of co-founders. So you have like people who start a company together. I think that was the case for you and Yves.
Yeah.
And you have founders who are starting a company, gathering a band together, and then founding a team and call themselves co-founders.
Right.
But those doesn't necessarily need to have also those entrepreneurial skills. And so I've now started a couple of companies. At HelloPrint, we have great co-founders there. We trust each other tremendously. We work not only together the period we're now doing HelloPrint for 10 years, but also the 10 years before. So Michael, my technical co-founder, and Nick, we're going back 17 or 18 years already. So yeah, that's
right.
So we know each other like...
So there's a lot of trust there.
There's 100% trust in that. But basically, I started the company and they came with me. So they have different entrepreneurial co-founder skills. And why am I saying that? Is that I think the challenges of a founder are completely different than for anyone else in the company. And
do you have an example of that?
Yeah, I think so. If you're slightly later stage and you're dealing with like the severe problems of a reorganization or a very large funding round, etc., mm-hmm. then normally there's one guy in the room. So that's, and not four of you.
Right.
So that's, especially when you are a slightly larger co-founder team, then there is like a difference in founder and co-founder.
Yeah.
I'm now starting a new company together with a couple of co-founders. And that's more like, hey, we start this together and then we're all in that entrepreneurial spectrum.
Yeah.
And yeah, the complementarity is like super important, of course. And trust and complementarity are like the things that need to be interaligned completely. And yeah, I think the same counts for Buzz, I think. So it's like essential to do this
yeah.
together. It's also so much more fun. And I think that's one of the things that that are not often being touched base on. But I think entrepreneurship is a hard journey.
Yeah.
And having a co-founder where you can share things with is like the most important thing. And it's also the most fun to yeah. share things. Otherwise, you're just alone. And then you need to go back to your partner at home. And normally the understanding of, let me put this very gently, but the understanding of your problems is very different than his or her understanding.
Yeah. And, they're just on the sidelines. And
yeah, of course. And, yeah. and very supportive and also understanding, but never at a level of understanding that your co-founder is, I think.
Yeah. Do you recognize that, Bas?
Definitely. I think it's really, it's hard to have some of the conversations with people that are not your co-founder in the company, especially when you have to make hard decisions or things like that. It always feels bad, but at the end of the day, it's sometimes you're their boss, so it's always a bit, there's a weird thing. But as co-founders, often I think that's something that I'm curious about in your place as well. Even I started as like 50-50 there. Yeah. None of us is reporting to the other.
So we can be, you have equal grounds.
We're equal. We can be brutally honest with each other if something is not going away. Which is necessary.
Yeah.
But also we feel it the same way if we have to do something that feels shitty, like fire someone or doing something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's in our case, that's completely different. So our shareholding is also different. I funded the company as well. And so there is a difference there.
Yeah.
And there's no hierarchy. So that's something different.
Yeah.
But there is a different shareholding and we treat each other equally. But in the end, I'm the one who started it, actually.
Yeah.
And they were basically the first hires in that company, to put it very bluntly.
Yeah.
But from the start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for some important decisions, then you're the one that makes them, right? There's nothing like, especially from the start, is Yves and I both at 50-50. So you could get a situation where one says yes, the other says no, and what then?
Right? So what would you do in such a situation?
So when you start a company, of course, you have lawyers and telling all of it, like, there's beautiful names for this. You can do a Mexican standoff, Russian roulette to figure out who wins, who needs to buy out the other. Yeah, exactly. But for us, it never got that far.
Luckily.
Of course, we had different opinions. We had funny things where we both had a different opinion. We're very convincing, shifted to each other's opinion, and then had to do it again.
Exactly, yeah. But I think it's also a lot of bullshit to the things that the lawyers tell you, like you need to have all kinds of mechanisms here. No, you just need to figure this out, because if you are together, or it doesn't matter with whom, you need to continue there. So you either split or you solve it. There are two options.
Yeah.
So that's and you can have like all kinds of shootouts and dead outs and penalties and like But it doesn't help. You just need to sit down, discuss, cry, debate, punch each other in the face, and solve the thing.
Du interessierst dich fürs Gründen, fühlst dich aber allein mit deinen ganzen Fragen? Dann komm ins Reach und schließ dich unserer großen Startup-Community an. Mehr Infos auf reach-euregio.de.
Yeah, so you were earlier, you were talking about that it also has to be fun. this doesn't really fun, sound yeah. like fun, but how does a co-founder help you to make your startup journey fun as well?
No, but so let me ask you a question. This also happens in your relation, right?
Yeah, of course.
So this is also not always fun.
Yeah.
But it happens and you need to solve it. Either you split ways or you solve it.
Yeah.
So the journey, there is no journey that's always a happy path. In sports, you have this situation, you have this in work, you have this in life. Yeah. It's reality, right?
So running a startup with a co-founder is a lot like having a relationship.
Yeah, 100%. Well, yeah.
Yeah, and you have a legal document as well, so it's almost like being married.
It's almost like a marriage.
Exactly,
yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a good part, because if you have met your co-founder and you've only had fun times together, then I think that's a hard part, because you really need to know, like, how do we react with each other when things go shit?
Yeah.
Can we depend on each other? Do we know how the other person is reacting to something?
Yeah, and you said that you know Eve since you were 12.
Yeah.
So you already passed that stage when you started Code Sandbox.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
We knew each other for some time back then already. And you know what you can get from each other.
Right. And how's that for you? Do you...
Yeah, with your several startups? I know them forever. So I know their kids. And this is, but we're friends and... It's like, it's a big part of my life. And I also don't want to do it without them.
Right.
That's also the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. So what is it that...
Love.
So I think there are also founders who are running a startup on their own, who don't have a co-founder. Would you think that is wise to do, or...
Well, at least investors don't think it's wise. And there's a reason for that, of course.
Mm.
So, and the reason is what Buzz just elaborated on. I think, so if you are like a single founder, there is no sparing partner. So it's your way or the highway. There's never a mirror.
Yeah.
Because your environment never gives you that mirror. My friends are not giving me that mirror. Yeah, sometimes like the mirror of... Hey, so is it so important that as I think it is? So that's the good mirror.
Yeah.
But they will never give you the mirror on your business decisions, et cetera. And also no other peers can give it. And the only ones who might can give it are other founders, maybe. But they don't know your business well enough. So they give like their cocky advice. I did it like that. And so, and all good-hearted, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But a co-founder knows exactly what happened to you and I think that
they know the business by heart.
They know the business. Yeah. They know you. They know the impact of the decisions that it might have. And so I think it's extremely advisable for everyone to at least find a co-founder to start your business with.
Yeah.
And you also have co-founders or founders who say, but then I need to give away equity.
Mm.
I think that's a little bit penny-wise, pound foolish. Will bite you in the ass anyway. You need to hire maybe later on senior people who are not a founder. And so that might be a dumb decision to do. But of course, there are also plenty of solo entrepreneurs who are very, very successful. And
I think it's important that, especially as the early joiners or co-founder, that you do give them equity, because that way, even if someone is, if it's not working out in a certain position or someone needs to... Well, of course, there is some ego involved because you're like building a team, changing roles, give each other a mirror, like this is not working out.
Yeah.
Then it's important that you both see like, okay, we only win if the company wins, right?
Yeah.
So it's better for me to focus on this part, what I do really well, you to take on more of this. Because that way the company is worth more versus only like, this is the bigger role, so I want that.
Yeah. So it's also really that you have to push your ego aside.
Well, I think it makes it easier to prioritize the shared goal.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about eventually, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's it's better to give equity, because in the end, then the if you're a success, like, it will be worth more. So even a smaller piece of something that's worth a lot more is the better deal.
And it's all very artificial until we exit. So that's
exactly.
There's not even a buy. So yeah. There's a imaginary buy.
Yeah. Great talk. Is there anything that you still want to shout into the room to people who are just starting their startup, who are looking for a co-founder, who maybe have a co-founder? What's something that you would like to say to them?
Yeah, I think it is interesting because, as we highlighted, having a co-founder is quite important, but having the wrong co-founder can also hurt a lot.
Right.
So that makes it always a bit of a tricky part. You don't need to...
Take six and then you can, exactly. You can pick, right? So,
yeah. Don't get a co-founder so you check a box for an investor. That's the bad one.
Like, yeah, for sure.
That's a bad thing. But
yeah, because what you said, you need that trust and you need the shared vision. So it can be just anyone that you take off from the streets, basically.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, I think, there are a lot of programs, for example, Endler, where you can find your co-founder, etc. That's a way of doing it. Or just be at events like this, talk to a lot of people. So my new co-founder in Engage, our new startup, I saw him at Rotterdam, at Upstream Festival, mm-hmm. pitching something. I was in a sort of jury there. Thought, hey, interesting guys. Then they came to our office. They used our office space for free for a year. They had their own startup. They stopped. And now we're starting something together.
Right.
And that's like, it's also, yeah, surround yourself by greatly talented people and see if there is like a spark, an entrepreneurial spark, but also a spark in interpersonality, right? So that's, yeah, hey, can we have a lot of fun? And do we think we're complementary?
Yeah.
And can we start something together? Are we ambitious both? And then, yeah, and then try it. But do a good search and don't pick the first one, like Bas is saying. So
yeah,
because a bad co-founder is like even worse than having no co-founder, of course. Yeah, same as in a relationship.
Exactly, yeah. On that note, I think we'll close off for now. Thank you so much for being here, and I hope you enjoy the rest of Enschede Slushed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Reach, from science to startup.